And good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome, welcome, welcome. It is time now for City Matters right here on your favorite radio station. That is K1, the one you trust. And we have Lisa Beeman and company today because Lisa brought in just about everybody who wasn't on vacation today.
That's right. I did indeed. Mike Bailey is off on vacation this week, and so I drew the short straw to get to be the MC of our little radio show. I'm happy that I'm here with three of my favorite colleagues who can talk plenty about all the great things going on in Bartlesville.
Yep.
So I hope that everyone had a safe holiday season.
Mm-hmm.
Just wanted to give a couple little notes on some of the things that will be closing. So the Fantasy Land of Lights, if you haven't been by to see that yet, that will close for the season on Thursday, December 30th at 10 o'clock p.m. So if you haven't gone through Fantasyland this year, it's a drive-through light display in Johnstone Park. You can do that tonight through Thursday night, and they'll start cleaning up and picking it up after that. Mm-hmm. Also, the ice rink at the depot in downtown Bartlesville, that will be open through January 2nd, which is Sunday. That'll be the last day they'll be open, and they'll be closing at 9 p.m. on Sunday night for the season. So if you want to take advantage of either of those two holiday events, this is the last week for those. Other things, the city will be closed on Friday, or at least most offices will be closed. Police and fire will continue as normally scheduled with no interruption. The recycling center will also be closed on Friday. So if your trash pickup is regularly scheduled for Friday, it will be collected on Wednesday, December 29th. That means you have to put it out Tuesday night. I'm on that route, and I missed it last week, too. I don't know how that happened, but I didn't get it right. So put out your trash on Tuesday night for a Wednesday collection if you normally get your trash picked up on Friday. We also had issued in, I think it was February of 2021, a coupon that you could take a load of stuff to the Osage landfill. I think those are an annual certificate, and so the last day to use those would be Friday, December 31st as well. We want to thank... They actually are going to be closed on Saturday the 1st. So you have through Friday to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
We want to thank everyone that shopped in Bartlesville this season. Sales tax is what funds most of the city services, including police and fire. So the money you spend in Bartlesville is reinvested in making our community a great place to live. So we really appreciate the city. It's important that people shop in Bartlesville where they can, and the money is reinvested in the community there. So those are just a few things to follow up with. I'm going to throw it here to Tracy. Look, I filled 5 minutes with that little conversation. All right. Mike Bailey, we miss you. I'm going to throw this to Tracy Rolls, our police chief. He's going to tell you a little bit about his New Year's Eve program.
Well, thank you, Lisa.
Thank you, Tracy, for being here.
And you took a tremendous amount of time. We really appreciate that.
I talked as slow as I can.
Are you guys saying that Mr. Bailey knows a lot of words?
Apparently
he knows some big words. He does.
And he's more paced than I am.
That was efficiency at work.
I just indeed. I
hope the boss is listening to that and takes note.
I hope you're listening, Mike.
Yeah. So the Arrive Safe event. We started this in 2018. When I got here, basically it's an opportunity for me to go out into the community and drive people home, or not necessarily home, but to a different place after they've had consumed alcohol. We'd rather... That's correct. So on Friday, December the 31st, from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m., I will be available. All a person would have to do is call dispatch at 338-4001 and request that I come pick them up. They have to let dispatch know where they are, obviously. Request that I come pick them up. I'll come pick them up and take them to their destination. It's got to be within the city limits. But it's our hope that we just get people home safely so that we don't have any kind of tragic events like traffic crashes during the holiday season. One of the biggest things that I hear every year is that this has to be a setup. This is us wanting people to call us so that we can then take them to jail. I can assure you that is not the case. Since 2018, the number of people that we have taken to jail, that I have taken to jail during this event or as a result of this event, is zero. And it will continue to be zero after this year. That's not the intent. That's not what we're trying to do. It's not what we care to do. What we care to do is only to get people home safely or to their destination safely. So if you've had too much to drink, instead of driving, call us. Let us take you home. We have a lot of fun doing this. It's very entertaining, to say the least. There's only one real rule, and it's always been the rule. It's just you can't throw up in my car.
No.
That's the only rule.
No.
I mean, there's probably some other rules, but
That's kind of one that's front and center, right?
You just haven't got to those yet.
That's correct. That's
but
right.
If you did throw up, there's not much you can do about it.
No, there's really not. There's
You'd
not much I can do about it.
You still have to clean it up.
Still have to clean it up. Still have to take them somewhere. So.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of fun. It's very enjoyable. We have a lot of fun. So
didn't the mayor ride with you one year?
He did the first year.
Yeah.
There has been an open invitation to our city manager to join us this year.
There's a challenge there out here.
Not as somebody that I'm going to take home, but as somebody that's going to ride with me to take other people home. So we'll see how that goes. You know, one disappointing thing, it's never happened, is nobody from the city staff has ever called for a ride home. Well, nobody.
Now, what
that's
if I have a wine or something at my neighbor's house, and I want you just to pick me up and take me back to mine?
Just call me, and I'll take
you.
Absolutely.
Okay. I don't have to be really drunk.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah. I don't even have to have had a drink. You just give me a ride.
That's right. I'm not going to test you, so I don't know. I'll just pull up, pick you up, and
just
you tell me where to go.
When you call. Yeah. Your speech when you call.
Okay. Well, I may take you up on that challenge.
But that's been the most disappointing thing of this Arrive Safe event is that no city staff has ever called to request a ride.
I think probably because we're all home, sound asleep by midnight, probably.
That's probably true. There's probably a lot of truth
to that.
At least
it is in my case.
Sleep by 9:30.
Yeah. Well, Mike Bailey will probably want to ride with you this year.
Well, I hope so. Yeah, you know, I think it'd be really good for
him. And you probably could get some interesting community citizen input.
That's right.
On this.
I believe so.
Is there a way to reach Mike so that we can kind of urge him to do this?
I wish I. Well,
I think if you go to the website, he's got an email address.
Probably he does.
Yeah, the website,
all those who want. Okay. Could you also, Tracy, tell us about the agency verification accreditation certificate you recently received, and what is that program?
Sure. So basically, it's the first step to becoming a state accredited law enforcement agency. I think there's only a handful of agencies within the state have reached full accreditation, and that's something that we're striving to do. And that will be the first step toward national accreditation, which is a very lengthy and time-consuming process. So that was our first step for state accreditation, so we're very excited about that. Now we have some other things to do to get ourselves prepared to be a state-accredited agency. And basically that means that we just follow the best practices across the nation. And that we have certain things in place that make us so that we meet a certain level of expectation. So we're very excited about that. Our training staff, Sergeant Hollander, has done a great job getting us ready to get that verification, and he'll continue to work to get us ready to be state accredited.
Very good. Congratulations. Very good. All right. Well, look, you took up another 5 minutes. Wow. We're on a roll here. Well, now I'm going to throw it to my good pal, Terry Lauritsen, who's the utility director in charge of all sewer and water. And Terry, you could tell us about some water. Water for 2060 award. Now, what was that?
You bet. Well,
that's great.
That was legislation. So the state did a long-term water supply planning effort in the 2010s or in the early 2010s. And one of the things that resulted from that was a Water for 2060 law, which it has a goal to consume no more fresh water in 2060 as we do in 2012, which in essence opens the door for water reuse. And so water reuse is taking your treated wastewater and using it for applications that aren't traditionally used for that, including processed water for HVAC systems, irrigation type systems, as well as potable reuse. And so we are...
Now, tell us what potable reuse is. That's very confusing.
That's a big one of those big words that, Lisa, you like to use with me to confuse me.
Yes, and so, it means drinking water, doesn't
it? It means you're going to drink it.
Yeah.
Eventually.
Potable means you drink it.
So yeah. What we're looking to do is to take our treated wastewater and pump it up to the Caney River and... let it blend with the river water, and then we will recapture it there at Johnstone Park, retreat it or treat it to a drinking water standard, and then consume it. So we have awarded contracts to put in the pump station and pipeline here within the last couple weeks. We're currently doing improvements to the Caney River pump station to make that more efficient. And then the last piece that we'll need to do, which will start in 2023, is to improve the wastewater treatment plant that will treat that water to a higher standard than what we currently treat to facilitate the water reuse component of it. So here probably in about 2027, we'll have that system fully operational, ready to go. Really, this system is used as an insurance policy. So if we do experience a drought, which we will eventually, then we'll have a source that's very reliable that we can use in that type of situation. So it's not something that we'll use on an everyday occurrence. This is really more of just a backup or insurance policy in case there's a drought that removes our primary water from Gila Lake and Hudson Lake to a threshold that we need to employ this reuse system.
That's very well. You've done a great job explaining that in engineering terms. So let me ask you, in simple planning, simple people terms like me, so the wastewater that comes into this wastewater treatment facility there on Tuxedo.
Yep.
So we'll take that and we'll dump that into the Caney River, somewhere upstream of Johnstone Park. Well, we'll treat it.
Yeah.
Then we're going to dump that into the Caney River. Where it goes now, I guess, right?
Right, it does, yeah.
It's already dumping in. We treat it and make it as clean as the river water. Probably cleaner.
Cleaner
than the river water. We dump that back in upstream where it's going now, and then it flows down to Johnstone Park in that big, ugly building that's right there by across the kiddie park.
Yes,
That's where it gets, that's the pump that pumps, we'll pump it out to the water treatment plant out east west of town.
That's correct.
And then we'll get it all ready to go and put that back into the water system.
Send it on to your tap, Lisa
Send
Beeman.
It to my tap. It will be called potable water then.
Yes.
Which means you can drink it.
I think that's the key there. The comment that you made though is you know, the water really coming from the wastewater treatment plant is, Terry said it has to blend with the river.
It's cleaner than the river water.
It's improving the river water. When we say blend, it improves actually the quality of the river water and makes the river water a little bit easier to treat. It does help with that source of it. So we have in the treatment process, we're going to remove all the hazardous stuff that we have to. We also have a plan to, because I've heard calls or had comments about, well, what are you guys going to do about the what we call contaminant of emerging concern? So that's the super trace type particles like your pharmaceuticals, your industrial compounds.
So like when you dump your pills down the toilet?
Yeah.
Not a bad thing. Don't do that.
So we do have, so part of the treatment process as the wastewater plant will remove a majority of those, but then we will also use a pretreatment activated carbon at the Caney River, which will grab, in essence, the rest of it. So we have looked at and we've done studies as far as looking at what's those contaminants as it exits the wastewater plant, how does it change over time when it flows down the river, and then we've also done testing on using the activated carbon on how efficient it is to gobble up the rest of it. And so we've looked at that
gobbled
and we
up.
Have gobbled up is
it's a technical term
for you there, Beeman.
I appreciate it.
So we it's boogered up, yeah, but in the other way. It's the other sense of it. But we you know, we've looked at that and that's something it will proceed slowly just really since we are the first in the state that has taken it to this point. The city of Norman is looking at something similar, but they use Lake Thunderbird as their raw water source.
And it's not as clean as ours.
It's not as clean, no. But it has the bowl effect in the essence where you're recycling into a bowl. And those contaminants really can't get flushed out with a rain event.
Okay.
And so with the river, it's a much easier application because big rain events is going to kind of clean it out.
To help us. So I do want to just give Terry credit where credit is due. We are the first in the state of Oklahoma to try this, and that is the innovation that is Terry Lordson. Yes.
I'm sure I have an email from you, Beeman, that told me to do. You need to do this. No?
No, you did this all on your own. Okay. I had nothing to do with it. So I know we're in this unseasonably warm winter period, but as I recall, in February of last year, we had some really cold temperatures, and I, like many of my friends, had frozen pipes and water leaks. And so, Terry, would you like to just, in anticipation of the cold snap coming again, would you like to tell us how we might be able to protect our pipes in the event of another cold winter freeze?
Well, there's a couple of things that you can do. One is to leave a drip of water or a low stream. Depends. You just didn't have it going hard enough, I guess, Lisa.
I didn't, because I wanted to conserve water.
Yeah.
No,
it's
throw that out the door.
Well, it is kind of a... Now, the city of Tulsa, back in February, they ran into the opposite scenario where they told people just to turn their faucets on and let it go. And they were using so much water that they couldn't keep up with production. And they had leaks and other things, as we did. But they had to ask people to conserve water because they couldn't supply enough water to meet the demand. So what we would normally do if it becomes a kind of like a February event, we would probably advise people to leave cabinet doors open so it doesn't freeze underneath the sink, to leave a small drip running in there. You know, now's the time, if you have a raised floor type of house, to check to make sure that those pipes are insulated underneath the raised floor. And then that's about all that we can do. We experienced leaks on our system when the line was 3 feet under the ground. So there's some scenarios which happened last February that there's just not a way to prevent it. So those are kind of the simple things to do to help minimize the pipes freezing. But hopefully that the event that we experienced back in February was something that we hadn't seen in 40 years. So hopefully that's
hopefully
not the new norm.
That
was just an isolated incident. And eventually it'll cool off, and keep your faucets, put a little insulation over your outside faucets. If it's going to be cold, so if it gets down into the 20s one night, that's not going to hurt anything. But if it's prolonged in the teens or below 10 for several days or nights, that's usually when you have the risk of having a pipe getting frozen.
Well, I'm going to take you at your belief that it's not going to get that cold again. But I will insulate my pipes, because last year I was down there with the hairdryer trying to get it all. Dirty job. Okay, well, look, we have 10 more minutes to go. Wow, isn't this great? And now we have Micah Seemers. Micah, tell us about what's going on and some of the big moments in 2021.
Oh, gosh, big moments in 2021?
Hillcrest Drive.
That's the biggest one.
Yeah,
that was the biggest one.
Pretty.
That was a good one. And, you know, I appreciate people working with us as we close the road for two different periods for 3 weeks. Yep. That was not part of the original plan, but it sure helped. Help with the contractor and getting things done quicker. So appreciate you guys being patient.
And even
with us
there. You put all of that traffic in front of my home.
I did.
I didn't mind, because it was a very small price to pay.
That's
to
right.
Get that beautiful
That's right.
road now.
Yeah, you know, and...
And sometimes I have to be careful not to speed in that area, because it's such a nice, pretty road.
It is. And speaking of speed, we did... Yes. I'm trying to think of another technical term for this, but I'll leave it alone. We did mess up the speed limit on there. So they set it at 40 miles an hour. It is not supposed to be 40 miles an hour. We are working to remedy that. We've gotten lots of calls on that and whatnot. So
what's it supposed to be?
It's supposed to be 45.
Oh.
Speed limit is still going to be 45. We aren't changing that. That's what it was before. So there's a couple of things that we missed there at the end. We had a great project, and we're just trying to torpedo it right here at the end. To make it a problem. So
Tracy, you won't be giving tickets if I'm 45 in that area right now.
For you?
Well, no, for anyone.
No.
Okay.
No, we'll work with Mike and his crew. Now, if it's you on that street, we may have a different issue.
Well, I probably won't be on that street then.
There you go.
Okay, what else?
But no, we are working with a contractor and getting that remedied, so we appreciate you guys being patient with us there. But that was a good project for this last year. Really, that was the biggest project that we had going on. Price Fields, we did have it ongoing this last year. We really you know, never to get the fields open up in the spring, but they are ready to go at this point. And so you'll see them open up this this coming baseball season. And so we finally got those worked out. That was a good one. Really, other than that, we're getting some projects started. You can see some other nice projects coming this next year. Pricing Sooner Pool is ongoing right now. We've got a recreational expansion to Sooner Pool. So that original pool is just a 50-meter lap pool. And we're trying to add some amenities for kind of the older teen type type age groups of kids. So we're adding some two water slides to that. It's going to be a 45-foot tower. So at Frontier right now, I think that's around 25 feet, I believe. So not quite doubling that, but it's a lot higher, a lot faster slides. So we're working on that right now. We'll also get a new parking lot out
How
of the deal.
How many slides are we going to have?
There's going to be two of them.
It's going to be two. That's
great. That'll be good. So we'll have the new slides. We'll have three new group shelters there as well. One of the needs that the user groups, as far as the YMCA and others, had requested was some spaces for like group parties and things of that nature. So I guess that's hot in high demand, and they don't usually have enough space for that. So we'll be adding those as well. And also the parking lot will be a nice addition to that as well. So we're adding that as well from some different funds. That's just from GO bond funds. So it was kind of a separate deal, but since we're doing that work now anyway, we're going to go ahead and knock them out with the same project. So we will be resurfacing the existing pool as part of that project. And we actually have on the agenda for this coming council meeting a change order to the project to add resurfacing Frontier Pool as well. Oh, so we had funds set aside for that. We've worked that out with the contractor. It's within budget that we have for that project as well. So they'll be doing that work on Frontier. It's just time. You know, that pool's been around. Terry, when did we finish that pool? Back in
2007.
Yeah, 2007, I believe, somewhere in there. So pool's been around a little while, and I think they paint it each year, but this time we're going to sandblast and take it down to the original and put a new liner on that as well. So
good
project there. We're currently still working on a Quail Place drainage project. We finally got out of the rocks. That's going a little bit quicker. We should hopefully be done sometime first part of February is the goal to get that one wrapped up. So we'll try to get everybody's hair on that project as well. We're working on design on quite a few projects right now. We've got some Pathfinder projects in design currently. We've got the Shawnee Sidewalk, which is over there. I really just going to tie in from where we left off on that Kane Sidewalk project. They're at about Denver and Valley. And we're going to tie into there at 16th Street by your house.
I know.
And tie in over there as well.
It'll tie into the high school.
Yep, tie into the high school there. So
the Pathfinder Parkway.
Yep, so we'll tie into that project as well. So we're doing design on that. We've got plans at about 60% right now. Because there is a grant involved with that, we have to have ODOT review those plans. So it's currently an ODOT review. Hopefully we can get that one going and go to construction this summer on that project. So also working on a rehab of the airport taxiway. Most people won't see that, but we do have a project ongoing there. Working on design for parking lots. So we've got lots of funds for basically freshening up the parking lots we have. You know, years ago, we do have parking lots, but they were just kind of, some of them were gravel, some of them were gravel originally. We put some asphalt over the top of them, and so we're going to try to go in there and freshen up the parking lots
that
around
would include,
the parks.
The Sooner Park, the drive through Sooner Park, and the drive around.
Yeah, so not just so at Sooner Park and also at Johnstone Park, we've got those loop roads, and so we're going to freshen those up as well. We may even reconfigure things there at Sooner Park as far as cutting off that back portion, make it more of a trail. Leave it as a trail, but then really for vehicular traffic, keep that to the front. Called the west half.
And are we still looking at doing something in Johnstone Park right there where it does that awkward thing at the Johnstone?
So you've got that T intersection there when you come out of the kiddie park that we turned into one way, and you've got the Nellie Johnstone that sits right there. And so we're looking at doing either a roundabout or something there to improve that intersection. Obviously a smaller scale than the one Terry did years ago there at Silver Lake and Price, which turned out to be another one. That's Beeman. We'll put that on Beeman.
I think I had a better plan for that. You had a
better plan?
No, wait. Oh, no, that one. Terry. That was all Terry. You get all the credit for that roundabout.
Terry's got some good ideas.
He
really does.
He took some beating over that, but people love you for it now.
Yeah.
And I appreciate it as a planner. You know, that's a great job. Yep. Great. Well, another innovation by Terry.
So one of the bigger projects you'll see, it'll be a little bit of a disturbance for everybody, is that we do have a project on Delaware to resurface that from 5th Street to Hillcrest.
Oh,
so it's a pretty good sized project. We're working on design on that right now, and hopefully we'll have plans done here first quarter. and that'll go to construction this spring as well. So that'll be the biggest, probably most visible project we'll have going other than Senior Pool.
So Fifth Street up, so. Is really Adams, right? No.
No, it's not.
We're going to do a block north of Adams, mm-hmm. but then not the rest of
You only have so much money to go around, B.
But the state is going to be... tell me about the state repositioning the bridge and when that's going to happen on Delaware.
Oh, boy.
Gotcha, yeah. So that one's getting ready to start as well. So the state did... they bid that project. They received bids on it. And I think construction is most likely going to be slated for sometime, I believe, in April or May, I think is I heard from the state.
So we'll start seeing... Will they start with tearing out the old bridge first?
I'm not sure that'll be the first thing that they do. Actually, they'll probably start working on utilities as much as anything on the front end. So there's a lot of utilities right in that area. There's sanitary sewer and water, and be a lot of utility relocates on the front end. But shortly thereafter, they will have to take out the bridge as they construct the new bridge, because we did require floodplain requirements. You can't add fill to the floodplain unless you offset that somewhere else. So they are planning on using that embankment material to offset the fill for the new embankment. Okay. So
when they do that, the city will recover a lot of land that is right now east of that bridge site.
Correct.
And
be a little bit of a land swap between the city and the state.
Yeah, become part of Johnstone Park, and that will line up then with Delaware.
Yeah, we're essentially giving them right away there at Delaware, and then also some additional property we have on either side, and then they'll be giving us essentially where the bridge is now.
Okay.
And a little bit to the east of that as well. So.
And we think, will that be finished next year?
No. No, that'll be
probably like a two-year project.
Yeah, that'll be probably close. I'm not sure how many days they have in the project. I'll look into that, but probably try to get something out in City Beat.
Okay.
But not sure on the duration on that.
Well, you're
good. We're being flagged here. We got a minute left, so we've made it through here.
Yeah, we have. But, thank you. Wow, you're a good long talker.
Yeah, we're trying. We're trying.
Anything else immediately to look forward to?
Nothing immediate to look forward to. I guess after the first of the year, the library will have that teen center being added there, so there'll be some work going on in there, but shouldn't disrupt things too bad.
And Mike is looking for it. Have you hired your a civil engineer yet?
We have not. We still got opening for a civil engineer. We're losing Emily Tabor, who's our newest addition, but she'll be staying home with the kiddos the first of the year. So
if any of you out there are civil engineers and would love to work for the city, it's a great place to work.
I know a few uncivil ones, but that'll be for the chief.
That's exactly.
That's where we put them, in the police department. And Terry, did you get all your people filled?
No.
So we have several openings, and anyway, that's it. We've managed to fill a half an hour. Thank you very much.
Be safe this weekend.
Lisa, be
safe this weekend, yes, and call Tracy Rolls if you need a ride. What's the number, Tracy?
338-4001.
All right.